for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday afternoon, November the 26th, 1982. Thanksgiving weekend teaching and deliverance seminar. Stan Johnson is the teacher of the afternoon. This is tape one of two tapes of this service.
Father God, we come right now in the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, just submitting ourselves, Lord, we just thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that we can be partakers of your word. Lord, let that word become a part of us today. Let it get down in our spirits. Lord, let us become the word. The word became flesh and dwelt among men. Lord, let your word become our flesh. Lord, let your word become flesh again and dwell in this earth through us. Satan, I take authority over you right now that would bind our minds and our understanding and to keep us from hearing and receiving what God has for us. I take this authority over you right now in the name of Jesus, and you'll turn our minds loose. You will loose our minds and our understanding to receive what God has for us. I loose you from confusion and a mental blankness, a sleepiness, slumber, and all. You receive God's word in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Out in the kitchen, they said, "What are you going to do with all that?" I was out there wanting some water. And I says, "Well, don't y'all believe in sprinkling around here? Somebody might want to get baptized." They said, "No, we don't." I don't either. Hallelujah. I think you need to get dunked. What we're going to do, and I've been seeking the Lord about this, this is the deliverance message, but I've got to show you something about the kingdom of darkness, and we're going to talk about the kingdom of God a little, like Lily did this morning. She gave some wonderful teaching on it. But we've got to understand a few things about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness, just some basics there, before we can really recognize the kingdom of darkness. A lot of people say, "Well, I don't have an evil spirit in me." You wouldn't know one if you saw one, unless you know according to God's word how they operate and what they're made up of and how they function. The Bible says that Satan has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Yes. Jesus says, "I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." So we're going to look at the two kingdoms in a minute, and we're just going to sort of show you what God started teaching me. You know, when God's going to use you to teach a message like Brother Art talked about, like the eagle, boy, can't he teach about the eagle. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord just keeps bringing some things back about the eagle, and I just got so blessed listening to our brother teach. But God started showing me a few years ago some things about the kingdom of God, and he would start to give me little simple illustrations. God is so simple if we'll just listen to it. And Jesus could take a little grain of wheat, and he could just show you about how you could die and how you could grow and reproduce and bring forth fruit and all that. He could take an ear of corn. He could take something very simple and just expound and put things literally under a microscope for you that you can understand things. Jesus completely and totally in 3.5 years brought understanding into those people that followed him. He reproduced himself in them. As a matter of fact, one place he says, "Now you are clean through the word that I have spoken to you." In other words, my word is in you now. And how many of you know that you, if your eye is single, that your whole body can fill up with light with no part darkness? Hallelujah. Can. Word of God talks about it. But I'm going to tell you something. When you're born again, you're not full of light. We're going to show you a few things God's shown me. And be teachable. Be teachable. Put things out there on the shelf. And you go and meditate and think about these things like people did when the days of the Lord. They'd go and think on these things. Jesus' mother would think on these things that the angel would tell her and so forth. So Praise God. Let's just look at old God the Father a minute. Here's God the Father, full of light. You know He's full of light? No part dark in Him. As a matter of fact, He can't even be tempted. Hallelujah. Now, God the Father, I'm just going to put a little bit of His Spirit here. You know, God is a Spirit, isn't He? See there? Now, God has fruit, too. Did you know that He has love, and He has joy, and He has peace, and He has gentleness? You know, He has goodness, meekness. You know, He has a lot of temperance and a lot of faith. Look at God. Isn't that something? And, you know, He's got gifts. Hallelujah. God's got all kinds of gifts. God knows everything. He's full of wisdom and knowledge and everything. Look at there. Let's put a little wealth in there. You think God's wealthy? All the gold is His. All the silver is His. All the cattle on 1,000 hills. Look at here. You think there's wealth in God? Look at there. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, I should have Him in here. Hallelujah. Now, what we could do if we had time, and I've been seeking how to go with this thing. God wants us, He wants us to be filled with Him, Himself. Do you know that God wants to get, see, God is up on His throne. He's in the heavens. There's a third heaven, and I'm going to tell you something. He's got a throne up there, and all this is up there. But what God wants to do is to get all of this from up there down here. He wants to get all this inside of the earth. Like Lily was teaching, the kingdom of heaven, we should pray that the kingdom come in earth as it is in heaven. A lot of people are waiting to get over there to start enjoying the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven can be on the earth and inside of you. And I'm going to tell you something. The kingdom of God, if you had seen Jesus Christ walk up to you, now let's just see what the kingdom of God is. It's righteousness, it's peace, and it's joy in the Holy Ghost. That's what the kingdom is. The kingdom of heaven is righteousness, it's peace, and it's joy in the Holy Ghost. Now, that is to be on the inside of people. It was so much in manifestation in Jesus Christ that when He walked up to an old fisherman, He'd say, "Follow me." And Peter and those other apostles could see so much of something supernaturally just beautiful inside of the Lord that they would literally cast down their nets, their boats, and they'd go right off following Him. They'd follow Him. Because they saw a manifestation of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. You know, God talks about in salvation a joy unspeakable and full of glory. A peace that surpasseth all understanding. People, we haven't come into the fullness of these things. I can tell you pretty easy about the peace I feel. You know, it's sort of up and down. I feel great peace at times, but other times it's not full. I have joy at times. I have great joy at times, but I don't have fullness of joy all the time. Now, when you fill up on these things of God, the fruit of the Spirit, and it remains, that fruit is always in you, God says you can ask whatever you will, and it'll be done for you. You know why? Because that's Him formed inside of you. God wants to come down and be manifested inside of a temple in the earth. As a matter of fact, many temples. God's looking for temples in the earth that will allow Him to dwell there and to manifest His presence in His life. He wants you. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. My body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. So, how do you get this in here? Now, let me show you what old Adam did one day. God says, "Adam, if you sin, you're going to surely die. You're going to know," and I'll just paraphrase a little bit, "you're going to know the difference between good and evil." But old Adam, like people today, you know, well, did God really mean that? Does God really mean what he says? So I'm just going to sort of build something here, and it's going to be Satan's kingdom. See, this is God's kingdom over here. Now, I'm not one of those snake handlers from Tennessee. Don't get excited. Hallelujah. But this is rubber. All this is rubber. Believe me, I wouldn't handle a live serpent. Hallelujah. Adam took his lid off. He took his lid off. People, he had this in him. Adam had this in him. Adam had fellowship with God. They walked in the garden in the cool of the day, and they talked. They communed. They had fellowship one with another. God would talk to him and tell him things and let him name animals and everything, that all the creatures and everything. They had wonderful fellowship. And God said, Adam, don't take your lid off. For goodness sakes, keep your lid on. So old Adam and Eve, they really messed up. And they took their lid off, and this is Satan. This represents Satan. He's a serpent, and he represents the kingdom of darkness. He's in charge of his kingdom. God's in charge of his kingdom. Satan's in charge of his. And so when Adam took his lid off, he came in. Now, what happened to all the fruit? Look at what happened. Where'd it go? See, I could have this fruit over here. Do you know what they do? Tomorrow I'm going to show you how they eat your fruit, how they take the contents out of your house. If you can come tomorrow afternoon, you're going to see how these creatures break through and get inside of you, and they eat up your contents of your house. And I'm going to talk on adultery and fornication tomorrow. Something the Lord has told me, if you're in an area more than 1 or 2 days, I want you to bring this word that I gave you. And he gave me a powerful word that will keep you from one of the sins that's going to make many fall in the last days, and that's going to be immorality. Satan's going to destroy you through it if he can. It's something that he's used all throughout the centuries, and he's using it today. And he's destroying men and women of God today. He's destroying spirit-filled Christians today. He's destroying powerful men and women of God today through it. And I'm going to show you what God's shown me on that sin. That sin is not the same as the others. The sin of adultery and fornication, it's not the same as the others. A lot of people say all sins are the same. God says it's not. It's not true. So I'm going to show you tomorrow. Y'all come tomorrow and bring people that have had some problems in those areas. Because by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. If it's one thing we need in us today, it's the fear of the Lord. It's the Word of God hidden in our hearts to keep us from sinning against God. It's the Word of God hidden in us to protect us through these evil days. It's the Word of God hidden in us to tell us what to do in these evil days. So you come tomorrow, and God will show you some things. And you pray that God will put the fear of the Lord in you. All right, so what happened? When he came in, he's ruling in that place now. Do you know what? He brought in a curse. He brought in sin. Do you know that anything that's not of faith is sin? Do you know that doubt and unbelief is sin? Let's just put some doubt and unbelief in there. Let's put some sickness in there. Do you believe that that would make you sick if it was inside of you? Boy, he can work in any part of your body and make you sick. So sickness came in on the curse, didn't it? Came in. You know, this little old evil spirit manifested right away in Adam's life. He had never experienced anything, but God says, where are you? I'm afraid. There's fear. Fear. It's a spirit. God says that fear is a spirit. Fear is a spirit. In 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit. Spirit. A spirit. Evil spirit of fear, but he's given us power, he's given us love, and he's given us a sound mind. Now, do you think that just because you have a spirit in you of fear, that makes you an evil person? Doesn't make you evil because you've got fear in you. Doesn't make you an evil person just because you have a spirit of fear inside of you. Fear of flying on airplanes. Fear of drowning, fear of close places, fear of the future, fear about your finances, even fear about your salvation. So you can have multitudes of these little things in you that their plan, Satan's plan through them, is to lead and guide your life. Do you know that he can, through fear, lead your life? Do you know that he can, through fear, he can keep you from witnessing? You remember when they were sort of working the Lord over and Peter was out there warming by the fire? You see, Jesus had looked into old Peter. He knew that he had some of these. See, here's old Peter, see, got fear in him. And Peter's talking about laying his life down and going all the way with Jesus. And Jesus knew he had fear. You don't know a lot of times things that are in you until circumstances make them manifest, and then you see what's in you. So here's old Peter out there warming by the fire, and they're in there beating up on the Lord. And some little old girl walks up there. He was confronted three times. And finally, some little old girl walked up there and says, "You're one of them. Your speech betrays you." And guess what? Fear jumped up there. See, he was watching what they were doing to the Lord. And, you know, they could have taken him in there pretty easy too, couldn't they? Peter says, "I'm not one of them." He made Peter deny the Lord. "I'm not one of them." And he even cursed to throw them off. Instead of, if he had really been converted, see, Jesus says, "Peter, when you're converted, strengthen the brethren." In other words, when you get all these old things out of you that control your life and make a big mess in your life, then you convert, you strengthen the brethren. So instead of saying, "Yeah, I am one of those. I followed this man around 3.5 years. Let me tell you about it. He's the Son of the living God. I've seen him walk into funerals and tell dead bodies to come up alive. And I've seen them come alive." So he could have given this testimony if he hadn't had fear. "I've seen him walk into leper colonies and just say, 'Be made whole.' And all of a sudden, the leprosy would leave and the parts would be restored on their body that had been eaten off. I've seen him, I saw him down at the pool of Bethesda one day. You ought to have seen this man, been sick 38 years, couldn't even get in the water. And I saw Jesus Christ, the Son of God, heal that man, told him, 'Pick up his bed and walk.' And he hadn't walked in 38 years, and all of a sudden he starts walking off of his bed. I saw him do mighty works, mighty wonders. I've seen him change alcoholics' lives. I've seen him change people that were bound up with immorality and all kinds of problems. And he can change your life if you'll just accept him and believe in him." See, Peter could have done that had he not had this fear in him. So for goodness sakes, let's get rid of our fears. Fears. If you've got fear in you, and I'll tell you something, there's not a person in this room that doesn't have, you're not afraid of something. He'll keep you from laying hands on the sick and praying for them. He'll keep you from casting out spirits. He'll keep you from trusting God about your finances and about the ministries and all these things. He will rule you, people. He's a force. He's opposite of faith. Praise the Lord. So he got in old Adam. All of a sudden, Adam's afraid. And by the way, let me tell you what God showed me about your salvation. See, what we're doing now is we're working out our salvation, aren't we? Showing you an illustration of your salvation. God told me one day, he says, "Son, this is what working out your own salvation with fear and trembling is." See, let me see a little mental picture. Goodness, my life is like a little vapor that suddenly appears and then it vanisheth away. And in this little vapor of time, I've got to work out my salvation. Goodness, there's the fear. I hope I'm right. I hope I'm right about what I believe. I hope I'm going in the right direction. See, there's the fear and the trembling. Now, how many Christians today are walking around trying to work out their own salvation with fear and trembling? It's something to think about. I'm going to tell you something. Don't you take your salvation for granted. You work it out. You work out your salvation. Jesus told Nicodemus one day, he said, "Listen, Nicodemus, unless a man is born again, he can't see the kingdom." After you see the kingdom, Jesus goes on to say, you enter into what you see. You've got to enter into it. You've got to enter into the kingdom after you have the ability to see it. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit because they are foolishness to him. because they're spiritually discerned. So you've got to become alive in Christ. Your spirit's got to be born again before you can even see these things in the Word of God. They're hidden to you unless you're born again. Now, all of this old mess, all sickness, all disease, depression, you think maybe Adam was a little depressed? Something got inside of him to make him depressed, people. It was darkness. It was spirits. It was sin. You think that might work your joints over? How would that be for arthritis? Get in your joints. You wouldn't want to move them too much with those little spines up there, would you? So there it is. There's the kingdom of darkness. That's what he gave up. He went from here to here. Isn't that a mess? Now, if he had reaching out and taken of that tree of life in that condition, guess what? He'd have lived forever. Just like that. Would that be some destiny? So God says, oh my goodness, I lost my fellowship with mankind. And so God had a plan, didn't he? He was hidden to where he could redeem man back to himself. And we know that the Jesus Christ became flesh and dwelt among men. Now, the way the Lord wants me to show you how He gets you back and gets all of the Father back in you again. See, it takes a process. It's not an instantaneous thing. It's not like instant mashed potatoes, stuff like that. You've got to work it out. I'm just going to show you how He showed me to work out your salvation. Uh-oh. You don't get any of that in the Lord, I'll tell you that. He can't even be tempted. Okay? Now, man is dead. You know that Adam died that day, but he went on to live quite a while, really, in the flesh, didn't he? But spiritually, Adam died that day. Now, here's the way you get your salvation. You got to get this back into you to be saved from your sins and from your sickness and from your diseases and from your fears and from your evil spirits and all that mess. Now, how does it happen? This represents your spirit. This represents your spirit, and when you hear the good news, you're down in there dead. One day, Jesus told a man to follow him, and he said, well, let me go bury my dead father first. He says, you let those that are dead bury the dead, and you come follow me. So this man and many people today are walking around dead. See, the spirit of man is dead until it becomes alive. So when you hear the good news, hey, you don't have to live forever in death. You can come alive and you can have God formed back inside of you. When you hear that good message that God so loved you that he gave his son, and he wants you to invite Jesus Christ into your life. So here's your spirit man down in all that mess, but he's dead. See? Now, you ask Jesus to come into your life. So I wish that. Let's just do it right. You tell him that he's not going to rule your life anymore. You get rid of him. Aren't you glad? Hallelujah. Now, he's out of the way now. But his kingdom's in there, isn't it? See, Satan is able to be at one place at one time. But through his kingdom, he can be everywhere. How many of you know that sin's everywhere? Temptations everywhere. All right, now here's your spirit. He's down in there. Lord Jesus, save me from my sins. Come into my heart. All right, he does just that. Look at there. Hallelujah. Praise God. Where did that come from? It came from God, didn't it? All right, now, there's a new man down inside of that old man. Look at him. Isn't he pretty? Quite different, isn't he? Goodness. Boy, he doesn't want to come out of there. Yeah, there's a whole bunch, but it's going to come out of there, too. Well, let's try it this way. All right? Bible says that we are sealed. Just put a seal on us. We're sealed till the day of redemption or to the day of the Lord. So there's the seal part of us. Now, this man right here, he's got God's nature in him. And he can't sin. Did you know he can't sin? He can't sin. But look at that old man right there. Boy, he's got some things in his flesh and in his organs that give him some problems. Paul says, I have things in me, and he went on to tell you that there were sin, that made him do things that he didn't want to do. And he says, it's not me that does these, but sin that dwelleth in me. Now, that was the Apostle Paul, and he had been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and he had walked with God, and he had been learning of the Lord, but yet he said he had things in his flesh that made him do things he didn't want to do. You see, these things right here have a personality. They have a job to do. A spirit of fear is supposed to make you afraid. That's the way he manifests his life. A spirit of depression would make you depressed. A spirit of infirmity would make you infirm. That they do what their personality is. Now, if you've had this experience right there, your spirit, you've been given a new spirit, and that's the spirit of Jesus Christ is dwelling inside of you. All right, but how about this other areas down in there? What a mess. Now, the next part of your salvation, God says, at Pentecost to Peter, when he got up and preached that mighty message, he said, they said, well, what should we do? He says, you repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So there's the first gift. Jesus was God's gift to man. But there's also another gift that God wants us to have. That's the gift of the Holy Spirit. So let's just put the Holy Spirit in there and let's just see how he works in our life. You know, he has a job to do in us too. All right, so let's just put him in there. I remember that day my brother in my insurance office said, Stan, you need this experience. He said, just ask Jesus to baptize you in the Holy Ghost. Aren't you glad I'm not using dye in that food color? That happened to me in my insurance office. I asked Jesus Christ to baptize me in the Holy Spirit, and God let me feel like I was a jug. You know, God has a way of working way off in advance. He let me feel like I was a big jug. And the bottom of the jug was right about here. Pretty good-sized jug today, isn't it? And when I asked Jesus to baptize me in the Holy Spirit, I felt like air was coming inside of me and just swirling around my stomach. And I could feel myself filling up. And it kept getting fuller all the way up and all the way up and all the way up to here. All of a sudden, I had power to be a witness that I didn't have before. All of a sudden, God was so much more real to me than ever before. All of a sudden, things supernaturally started to happen through my life. It just got me very excited. God, more and more, was being formed inside of me. I was working out my salvation. Well, look what's floating to the top. A lot of old stuff gets stirred up when you receive the Spirit of the living God, doesn't it? And this is the finger of God. Jesus cast out spirits with the finger of God. So we just go down and get some of those old things. See? There's old fear. There's old arthritis. And here's something in us. And little by little, we start to get ourselves cleaned up, getting roots of bitterness out of us, getting hatred out of us, getting resentments out of us. And all of a sudden, if you're like me, you had a tremendous desire to get something in you. I just wanted to devour this. I wanted to just read it and devour it. I remember going to bed, wanting to go to bed, just get by myself, and I'd sit there and until 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning just wanting to devour this. I had a hunger for it that I can't describe to you. And I didn't really realize, but I was getting some seed in me. Seed was coming off of these pages. See, the Word of God is sharp and powerful. The Word of God is seed. The Word of God is alive. The Word of God, if you're getting inside of good ground, it will grow. And so I was getting something inside of me, and it began to grow. And it began to grow. And it began to grow. I was getting, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And I was thankful that I had a brother that was a Southern Baptist that had a lot of word in him, but then he got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he'd come by and just put seed in me about every day. About every day he'd put some seed in me. And first thing you know, some things started to grow in me. You know, I had a little fruit start to come. Had a lot more faith. Faith started to grow in me. I had a lot of joy. At the time, I thought it was a lot. I had more peace in me. My goodness, I'd go somewhere and people look at me and think that something was wrong with me because I just had so much peace. Think, really, I probably that you're on drugs or something. You know, really. But that peace is real. It's what mankind's looking for. But do you know what? Fruit, when it's real small, isn't real good. You know that? It's still fruit. You ever try eating something, a piece of fruit that's not mature and not sweet, not ripe, not ready? See? That's what God's waiting for, is fruit to start coming forth in people. See? He's got big, mature fruit in him, and we've got just little fruit in us. See, that's what's wrong with the body of Christ today. We don't have much full-grown fruit. We've got a little bit. But God wants it mature. He wants it ripe. He wants it ready. Hallelujah. So, God's plan is to put that fruit, to let it grow inside of you. And I'm going to tell you something. That love will start working against hatred. It will. It'll start a battle inside. Do you know, Jesus said since the days of John the Baptist till now, he says the kingdom of heaven, which is inside of us, suffereth violence. Do you know there's a violent confrontation on the inside of you? God says that there is violence in the kingdom of God. He's not up there dodging bullets. He's not talking about up there. Nobody's up there trying to club God and do him harm. Did you know that? He's talking about the kingdom that's inside of you and me. There's a violent battle going on inside of you. The kingdom of God against the kingdom of darkness. It's a violent confrontation. And God says, the violent take it before. If you make up your mind strong enough that you're going to have these things that God has for you, you're going to inherit the kingdom of heaven. Because it's God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So he wants you to have it. But he says you enter into it through much pressure, much tribulation. Going to deliverance services and wrestling in a deliverance service. You know, that's pressure and tribulation. Praise the Lord. You know, God will even throw a gift or two into you. You know, right away I started having a gift or two to manifest in my life. The Holy Spirit divides gifts out severally to every man as he will. So God even wants a gift or two operative in your life. Now, how about these things that didn't come out? My goodness. Well, I can't be possessed with an evil spirit because I'm a Christian. Well, I agree with you. You can't be. Now, let me just talk to you just a second about being possessed with an evil spirit, being a Christian. Let's just take something here. Let's just say that this is an evil spirit. And see, spirit can be translated wind or breath. Did you know that? Spirit can be translated wind or breath. So a spirit of fear, he could be sort of like this, you know, sort of light, wind or breath. Let's just say that you've got a deaf spirit for this illustration. You've got a spirit of deafness. A deaf spirit, Jesus, to set the person free, he would tell the deaf spirit to leave the person's ear. So let's stick the deaf spirit in the ear, okay? Now, if I've got a deaf right ear, does Satan possess me? He just got my ear. But I'm going to tell you something, he does have that ear. He's blocking my ear. He's in possession of my hearing, and I want it back. God bought it back through Jesus Christ taking stripes on the cross. By those stripes, I can be healed. But Satan doesn't possess me just because he's got my ear. He's just oppressing my hearing. He's just blocking my hearing. But people, he doesn't own me. My body has been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. And God is in the process of buying it back through many different ways, getting me free from Satan's kingdom and all his mess and everything. All right, let's just say that I've got a blind spirit. You know, Jesus ministered to some people that were blind by casting spirits out of them. He'd set them free where they could see. All right, so let's just put one in my left eye, a blind spirit. See?
Very good illustration.
Does he possess me? What part does he possess? Isn't he a mess? Make me walk around like this. And there's an old spirit inside of my eye and my ear, and he's just sitting in there just blocking, just like this. Just holding your ear and your eye so you can't see. And how about you coming in? Let's just say that this is an old spirit of infirmity. Spirit of infirmity got on this woman's back in her flesh and made her bend over. See how cruel he is? And he was in that flesh making her bend over and walk around all over town with her back bent over. For how many years was it? 18 years he did that to her. A spirit of infirmity was in her flesh, in her back, and Satan oppressed her to that point. And Jesus says, "Woman, I loose you from that spirit. I loose you." In other words, the Lord reached out there and took that thing off of her. He set her free from it, just like he set ears and eyes free to where they could see and hear. Now, did Satan possess her whole body because that old thing was in her back, making her bend over? Did he possess her spirit? No, he didn't. So see, you can be a Christian and you can have spirits. You can have spirits. My goodness, you're full of them. You got things in your body that keep you from using your body right. You got things in your mind that aren't the mind of Christ. Are you double-minded? Are you tossed to and fro? You got a double mind. You got two souls in you, and God wants that removed. He wants everything out of you that's not of him. He does. Now, how do you get all this stuff out of you? Well, there's a lot of ways, God says. Well, first of all, let's just continue right here just a minute. All right, now, there's the spirit of man. See, he's down there in the middle now, see, the man's spirit. But this other area is the soul. See, this area right here is the flesh. That's the body. And God says in Thessalonians that we are body, soul, and spirit. It's incorrect to come home from being born again, going to the altar and getting born again, and say, "Oh, hallelujah, I got my soul saved today." That's not true. That is not true. Your soul and your spirit are two different things. They're two different things. Your salvation began when your spirit was saved. But God says that he wants your soul saved also. Peter talks about a salvation that's going to be revealed in the last days, even the salvation of your soul. There's going to be a salvation that's manifested in this earth in the last days where people's souls have been delivered. Their emotions are going to be right. Their minds are going to be the mind of Christ. They're going to have joy that's unspeakable and it's going to be full of glory. They're not going to be bound up with sickness and disease and anxieties and fear and nerves and depression and all that. It's going to be cleaned up. Your emotions are going to be restored. If you restore something, the psalmist says, "He restoreth my soul." Restore it. You ever restore a piece of furniture? Take all that old stuff off, strip it down, get all that goop and mess off, and then you bring it back to life, don't you? Looks just like new. How many of you know God didn't make a mess when he made a soul? When he made your emotions? When he made your mind? God's going to restore that. God's going to restore that. You're going to see that manifesting in human flesh in the last days. God is going to clean up his people. God has cleaned them up. But here's your soul down in there. You purify your soul by obeying the truth. You know you can purify this by obeying the Word of God? Do you know that brings a cleansing? Just walking in the Word, walking in the light as he is in the light. We have fellowship one with another in the blood of Jesus Christ. God's Son cleanseth us. So obeying the Word of God cleanses you. Receive with meekness the engrafted Word of God, which is able to save or deliver your soul. Do you know what's happening to your soul right now? And through Millie and Brother Art, the Word of God has been coming forth and penetrating, piercing even to the dividing asunder of spirit and soul and the joints and the marrow of the bone. That's what's been happening. We are washed by the water of the Word. Do you know when Jesus Christ hung on the cross and that Roman centurion stuck that sword up in his heart, in his side? Out came water and blood. Out came water and blood. Do you know what's in this? Water and blood. Water and blood is in the Word of God. And when you sit under the Word of God, water and blood is just washing you. It's just washing you. It's just washing you. It's washing you. When you read the Word of God, you're taking a bath. That old spirit man down there, and even your flesh is getting old filth out of your flesh and out of your emotions. You're getting cleaned up by just reading and receiving the Word of God. You're being washed and cleansed. Jesus is going to come back for a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or blemish. And He's going to wash that church with water. He's going to wash it. People say, well, how's all this stuff going to work? When's Jesus coming back? And how about this doctrine? And how about that doctrine? What do you think? I said, I don't even know. But I tell you this, I know this. You work your salvation out with fear and trembling. I believe Jesus Christ is going to come in His people before He comes for His people. You're going to see God inside of man doing His thing, doing what He's wanted to do. You're going to see that in human beings in this earth. You're going to have God the Father on your hands before too long. He's going to be inside of people. You're going to have Him on your hands too, people. You know, people had God on their hands in the days of Philip and Peter and these people. They had God on their hands. You start lying to God, and you know God what He did? He'd just kill you just like that, just to show you that you don't play around with Him. When God's present, people, you don't play around. You don't play around. You wait till that spirit of judgment comes in this earth. It's coming. It's going to bring the fear of the Lord, too. People are going to start getting serious. They're going to start weighing out what they speak and what they say. And they're going to stop compromising. They're going to stop doing some lying, too. They're going to stop trying to cover up some things they're doing in secret. Praise the Lord. All right? Now, how do you get the rest of these things out? Jesus told us in the Great Commission, He says, you go, and in My name you cast out spirits. You cast out devils. You cast them out. So He tells you to cast spirits outside of people, don't you? So if He tells you to cast out spirits, who are you going to cast them out of? Are you going to go out there and find non-believers and do it? And, you know, I've told people before, a lot of preachers tell me, oh, Christians can't have an evil spirit, can't have a demon. I say, well, are you fulfilling the Great Commission? Well, what do you mean? I preach the gospel here. I say, well, are you casting out devils? Well, you know, they don't want to talk much about that if they're not doing that, do they? So if you're not to cast them out of the believers, and, you know, Jesus said that deliverance was the children's bread, why don't you and I go down to some of the bars in town and you let me watch you do it out of the non-believers? And can't you just picture you and I? Old Glenn here, he's probably real popular in this city. Glenn and I walking down to one of the local bars and say, listen, we want your attention. We're servants of the Most High God, and we're here to fulfill the Great Commission. Jesus says that we're to cast out devils in His name. Now, y'all ready? Hallelujah. I think I'd be behind Glenn. That wouldn't work, would it? No, it wouldn't work. But I'm going to tell you something. These Christians that are finding out that they've got things in them that aren't godly, things in them that torment them, things in them that oppress them, things in them that bind them, things in them that make them bend over, and things in their elbows that won't let them straighten out. They're beginning to come into the knowledge that they can be free, like Jesus said. He paid the price that we could be completely and totally free from everything that Satan could come against you with. Did you know that? He has no legal right to you at all. None whatsoever. Hallelujah. So, to get the rest of them out of there, you cast them out. Come out of there, you old devil, in the name of Jesus. And he just comes out of the flesh. You know, a lot of times you can even feel them coming out. They even sort of tear you a little bit, like the Scripture says. They would tear many, and they would come out of people. You can feel them pulling out of your bones, coming out of your head. You can feel them coming out of your ears. And you know what? Every time, if you're getting deliverance, you're going to feel a relief. If something comes out of you that's in there, you truly get deliverance, it's going to be a release in your life. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's get that old fear in there, out of there. Some of them come out screaming. You know what God says about these things when they come out of a person? They don't want to come out because they live there. They'll tell you, oh, I live here. I've been there since that person was 8 years old. Bible says that these spirits, when they come out, they walk through dry places seeking rest so they can walk. Oh, I wonder if we can find somebody in this town to get into. Who's watching old weird, spooky television programs? Let's go crowd around some TVs on Saturday morning. Maybe some of these kids, when they get real scared watching these old bad things, we can just jump right in their life. So they're waiting for their opportunities to get inside of human beings. Do you know what? The Bible says that they walk through dry places seeking rest. Do you know that they're not able to rest unless they can get in somebody and torment them? Their very personality is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And if they can't get in somebody to manifest their personality, they're tormented themselves. How'd you like to come home from work and not be able to sit down? How would you like to have to stand up all night and maybe the next day without resting? So you get him out of your life. He doesn't get to rest anymore. You get to rest. See? One of the two of you are going to rest. You get him out, you get to rest. You say, I don't have an evil spirit in me. You don't rest, people. You don't get to rest. He does. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise His name. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lord. All right, I'm going to show you a couple more scriptures, and then we're going to get into ministry. But look over here in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 4:7. You know that God says that we are to strive to enter into that rest? Do you know there's a rest for the people of God in this earth? There is a rest for the people of God. And do you know a person that's like that inside is resting, full of peace? Imagine having all that in you.
Amen.
Oh, I could go to sleep on a cement floor. Righteousness, peace, and joy. In the Holy Ghost. Woo! That's to be inside of us on earth. If you don't get it inside of you people on earth, you got some problems on your hands when you get out there.
Amen.
What you can get inside of you on this earth is what you're going to take out there. I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you something. It's inside of you. We're going to look just at a little bit of that. You better get it on inside of you on this earth. And if God didn't want it in you, you wouldn't be at this meeting. You're not here by accident. God got you here. All right, now let's see what the Word of God says. You forget what you've been taught about deliverance. You forget it, and let's look at what the Word of God says. What we must do is to learn to take the Word of God and see what it doesn't say and believe what it says. So let's see what Paul says. You think he knew what he's talking about? All right, let's see what Paul said. 2 Corinthians 4:7. But we have this treasure. He's talking to some people. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. In earthen vessels. Aren't y'all made out of earth? Earthen vessels. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. 16th verse. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. So there's two men there. There's two men inside of you people. Outward man and inner man. All right? 5th chapter, 1st verse. For we know. Now, aren't you glad Paul knew something and he could write it down for you? Paul says, we know. Just a minute. The Lord showed me earlier how to do that. I'm going to do what he said. See, there's that old earthly covering. Paul says, we know something, people. Hallelujah. We know it. We know something. That if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we know something. If we could dissolve this tabernacle right here, just melt the flesh away, we have a building of God. Oh, we've got a building. Goodness gracious, look inside of that person. Woo, look at that building. We have a building. We have a building. Do you know God says you're like a building? You're like a house? You're like a palace? We have a building. A house not made with hands. Do you know who made all that inside of you? You didn't do it. He who has begun a good work in you will continue it until the day of the Lord, or until Christ is formed in you. Until Christ is formed in you. Paul wrote a letter to the Galatians and he says, I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. A lot of people are sitting back saying, oh, I'm going to heaven someday. Jesus is going to break through and I'm going to get out of this mess. God's sitting up there saying, good gracious, I want all of that in you. I want my kingdom in you. I want all that down there to be displayed to mankind through you. Why are you wanting to get over here? I want to come over there. We have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Do you know that this is eternal in the heavens? Do you know where we are seated right now according to Scripture? Where are we seated, people? My goodness. To be absent from the body, do you know how long it takes you to get to be with the Lord? To get out of the body is to be present with the Lord. I don't think you have to go too far. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I don't think that's a real long trip. If we're seated with Him right now, I think when you get out of body, you're going to see Him. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. I just give you a little scripture to think about along with what I'm teaching you. You meditate on it. See what God shows you. Jesus says, in my Father's house are many buildings, are many mansions, are many houses. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And I believe that place is being prepared inside of us. You know, some people won't let God build in you. You refuse to let Him build anything in you because of your traditions, because of your unbelief, because of your doubt, because you haven't submitted to the Word of God that would bring faith to where you can go on into the promises of God. So you've got to hear the Word of God and then move on in to claim the promises, move on into the promises of God. And He has claimed, or He has promised you that the kingdom can come in your earth as it is in heaven. And yet people are holding back and not entering in. God says, that there's some that are not entering in, and they're preventing others from entering in. Do you know that there are people in this earth that are preventing others from entering into that? All deliverance isn't for you. You can't have an evil spirit. Well, ask him how many spirits they've cast out of somebody. Those people that talk like that, ask them how many evil spirits they've ever cast out of somebody. You know what they'll start to do? Oh, well, what else do you want to talk about? See? So they're not fulfilling the Great Commission. They just aren't doing what God told them to do, and they're hindering people from coming into the kingdom. You're not going to have all of that in you like you should if you don't get into deliverance and get some of that stuff cast out of you. God says that where fear is, there's torment. If there is a spirit of fear inside of you, God's love, he says in 1 John, cannot be perfected in you. So if you want perfected love, what you got to get out of you? Fear. You've got to get it out. And guess what I found out about casting spirits out of people? Come out of there, you old spirit of fear, in the name of Jesus, and there's no spirit in there. What happens? Nothing. I get hoarse if I do it long enough. But if there's an old spirit of fear hiding in there somewhere, and I tell him to leave, the Bible says he's subject to me. That means he's been put under my command. He has to obey me because of what Jesus Christ did. So if there is a spirit in there, he's got to come out. So what have you got to lose? Your spirit. What you got to gain? Peace. Perfect love. Hallelujah. Don't be afraid of these things. Do you know if old Satan himself would appear in this room and say, y'all aren't going to cast these devils out of these people, you know how what the Bible says we could do to him? Submit ourselves to God, and I'm already submitted to him. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That means to get away quickly. So even if old Lucifer himself appeared and manifested in this place, we could just say, get out of here in the name of Jesus, and he would have to flee. It would greatly embarrass him, wouldn't it? It would. So if we can do that to him, why should we be afraid of a little old spirit of fear? Good gracious. The things we fear are things we don't understand. So it's time that the Christian church begin to understand about deliverance. So what it boils down to is to get the kingdom of darkness out and get the kingdom of light in. That's what God's plan for you is, to get the kingdom of darkness out, to get his kingdom in you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The third verse, if so be. Now, where is our house from? The second verse. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be, if you don't get it done, people, here's what's going to happen. Being clothed, we shall not be found naked. Hallelujah. There's a lot of mysteries to the kingdom of God. Lots of mysteries. And God says that he wants us to know the mysteries. He says it's for us to know the mysteries of the kingdom. Praise the Lord. If I could just peel back your flesh, if we could just bring one by one, old Glenn up here, and just sort of unzip him and just sort of take a look, we could see the kingdom in him. We could see a building in him. If we could open up old Lily here, she's talking about the kingdom. She knows what the kingdom is. We could see the kingdom is in her. There's something inside of her. There's something inside. You've got to get it inside, people. The kingdom has got to come in your earth, just like it is in heaven. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let me give you one little thing, and I'm not. I think we'll wind it up with that. But look at Mark 4. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Look at Mark 4:11. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, now here's the key verse, know ye not this parable? He had just been teaching a parable. Know ye not this parable? And how then will you know all parables? All parables, if you don't know that parable that he just taught them right there, you'll not understand the other parables. You'll think that it's another place or another situation or something. And you will not understand that all this he's talking to about the kingdom of heaven is within you. So if you don't understand that you can have things in you besides what the Lord's put in you, you're not going to understand all the other parables that he spoke. If you don't know that there are tares inside of you, that they were planted there, that got in there while you slept, if you don't know that there's some things inside of you to take away the Word of God and so forth and so on, you're not going to understand all these other parables that the Lord tries to teach you. Look at Matthew 13. We're not going to teach that, but Jesus talks about two sets of things on the inside of human beings, on the inside of the kingdom. One, he said, was the children of the devil inside of the kingdom. Do you think there are any children of the devil up there where he is? Nothing's going to get in there that defiles or tells a lie or anything else. He's talking about things inside of you on this earth. And he told those disciples, he told Peter, he said, listen, he said, when Jesus gave that story about the tares, go to it real quick. Praise the Lord. Matthew 13th chapter, the 24th verse. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. Now remember where the field is, okay? You don't go out and sow the Word of God into a plowed field out here, do you? You sow corn and things like that in there. He's talking about on the inside of you. But while men slept, and when you've been sleeping, you've been doing things you shouldn't have been doing. You've been playing around with the occult, Ouija boards, fortune tellers, palm readers, playing with levitation, having seances. People are asleep when they're doing those things, because if they knew what Satan was getting inside of them through those things, they would not do it. And if you are involved in any occult involvement whatsoever, I don't care whether you believe what you're doing or not, I don't care whether you think it'll hurt you or not, you stop doing it. You stop letting Satan get inside of your lid. You're taking your lid off to him if you go to sleep and start doing these things God tells you not to do. And he definitely tells you not to put any other god before you. He tells you not to learn to do all these things that these other nations learn to do and so forth. So, wake up and stop sinning. Stop doing these things in the occult. Stop going to any kind of person with a familiar spirit or somebody to tell you fortune. Anything in that occult realm will bring evil spirits, the kingdom of darkness inside of your mind. This is where they'll get you first. They'll go in there and they'll take over that mind. If Satan can get your mind, he's got you. That's the first thing he goes for if you disobey God in that occult realm is your mind. That's where those occult spirits work in your head. People with bad headaches, migraine headaches, they've been reading horoscopes and fooling around a little bit. I've been told statistically that people in mental institutions, 50% of them, 22 years and under, are young people. What are young people doing, as well as older people? They're involved in things they should not be involved in. Drugs. Drugs open your mind. Drugs open your mind. Satan will come in there and he'll get your mind. He'll take it. What have you got when you've lost your mind? You've got a mess on your hands. You better protect your mind, and you better leave drugs alone. You better leave the occult involvement alone. You better leave sin alone. You don't want to dabble in sin. God talks about he who is overcome with sin. So there's such a thing as being entangled in sin, and there's such a thing as being overcome by sin. Did you know that? A lot of people keep saying, well, I'll repent later. I'm going to enjoy these drugs, and I'm going to enjoy all this immorality and all this mess. But Satan's taking control little by little, and he'll finally end up getting your whole being if he can. Praise the Lord. All right, we're almost through here, but the Lord wants me to do this real quick. All right, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? So he was hiding this truth by telling the religious people of the day that there were tares inside of the kingdom. See, they couldn't understand that. He said, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. And he went right on teaching other stories, the same sermon. He just kept right on giving other truths. And it's nothing is a story in here or a lie. It's all the truth. But he gave parables. Okay? And then the Bible says that he dismissed the people. He dismissed the people. He said, people, it's time to go home. The disciples and I are going to go aside and rest a little bit. Maybe some way like that. He dismissed them. And then, see, here are the disciples listening to this teaching. And they wanted to know. They knew that the kingdom was within, but they wanted to understand a little bit more about that, what the Lord had just taught them. So the Bible says that they went in a house, 36th verse. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. In other words, Lord, now that those religious people are going to explain that to us a little bit more about the inside of us. You know, I want to know more about the inside of the kingdom within. Explain it to me. So Jesus took out a magnifying glass, and he let them take a look inside of them. You know, he would expound the Word of God to people, to his people that wanted to know. He wanted them to know everything. He didn't hide one thing. So he put the inside of you and I under a microscope. He let old Peter look right inside of him. And here's what he told him was in there. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. So now he's saying that the Word of God are children. The Word of God now are children. Doesn't every kingdom have children? A palace has a king living in it, and kings used to have lots of children. See, God would relate things that were simple for people to understand. So the Word of God now are children that are planted inside of you. Children grow up from seed. The Word of God produces them. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. Uh-oh, now we've got two sets of children in the same container. Now Jesus is saying this, not me. The Lord said there are two sets of children inside of you, not me. I'm just telling you what the Lord said. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. Jesus says, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he reap. If you sow to the flesh, you will of the flesh reap corruption. This stuff right here is corruption. God says, you sow in your flesh, you'll reap something. You'll have a crop. It'll come up. He talks about sowing to the spiritual man. You'll reap things that are eternal and so forth. All right, the enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. Aren't we entering the time of the end, people? If you don't see that we're entering in the end time, you're not discerning what God said in His Word. The signs are everywhere that something's going to happen. The kingdom is at hand. Hallelujah. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. See, there's another world coming. This one's about finished off, isn't it? Hallelujah. There's going to be new things ahead, people. The Son of Man shall send forth His angels, and they shall gather out of His kingdom two categories of things. All things that offend, do you think depression and anxieties and nerves offend the kingdom? Do you think fear offends the kingdom? Imagine us trying to sit in here, righteous peace and joy in the Holy Ghost, and somebody wanting to just come up all the time saying, boo! Boo! Ah! You think I would be an offense to the kingdom? Be depressed. See, do you think that's an offense to the kingdom? Walking around trying to bring oppression and depression in the kingdom? God says, hey, I'm getting that stuff out. All things that offend and them, personal pronoun, them which do iniquity. Paul says there are things in me that make me do things I don't want to do. God's going to take those things out of us. He's going to take them out of the kingdom. And when that happens, and then, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. You see a little bit of that deliverance services too, don't you? A little wailing and gnashing of teeth. Y'all notice that? Now, what's going to happen then? Then, when? Then, when? When these things are taken out of the kingdom, then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who has ears to hear, let him hear. God showed it to me like this. God is light, and there's light inside of us, but that light can't come forth until we get a few layers off of us. To get some darkness out of us. And the more darkness you get off, the more you're going to shine forth. Whew, hallelujah. Follow you and you'll make me faces of men. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. They're going to see something in you. They're going to see the kingdom of God manifested inside of you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right. Let's get into ministry, and we're gonna lead you through a prayer, renouncing all of Satan and his works. And I trust that you have repented, that you've asked Jesus Christ to give you the first part of your salvation, which is this. Is there anybody in this room that's never asked Jesus Christ to come in and make his spirit man alive? If you haven't, I want you to just stand up. Just hold your hand up right now. We need to deal with that real quick. If you have not been born again, if you've not been born of God's Spirit, I want you to hold your hand up right now. That's the beginning of your salvation. Who has never said, Lord Jesus, come into my life and save me from my sins? I want to be saved from my sins. Would you hold your hand up right now? Everybody's born again. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If you're not, it won't do us a bit of good to tell things to leave you because they have a legal right to you. They have a legal right to you. I could drive some out. I could make them leave. But guess what? You just wait until he gets away from her and zip. Oh, I'm afraid again. See? So you've got to give your body to the Lord. He purchased it with his blood. So you just got to tell Jesus that he's going to be your Savior. And you're going to let him save you. That gives Satan notice that he's not going to hold your life. Then he's got to turn that part of you loose. Is there anybody that would like to be born again right now? We need to move real quick. Praise the Lord. If you don't know whether you're born again, talk to Glenn or me or Brother Art or some of the people about it. And we'll talk to you about it at the end of the service. All right, now, Jesus said, if you have not forgiven people, he'll not forgive you, and he'll turn you over to tormentors until you forgive. So if you have ought against anybody, if you have not forgiven everybody for everything, you have no legal right for your deliverance. Again, we can drive them out. But God has already turned you over, a person that will not forgive. He's turned you over to tormentors to torment you. And they're in your emotions and so forth and so on. And until you forgive that person that's done something to you, they have a right to stay there. So therefore, you've got to turn your other cheek. You've got to bless those that curse you. You've got to do good to those that despitefully use you. You've got to pray for your enemies. You can't give Satan any place in your life through not forgiving or being bitter toward him. So make up your mind that you're going to forgive everybody for everything. And I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer, renouncing the occult, all areas of the occult that you've been involved in that you shouldn't have. And you're not to be involved in any of them. Your parents, their involvement in the occult, doing these things, have affected you. A lot of these spirits get inside of you because of the sins of your ancestors. They're literally just passed right down from generation to generation. They just pass right on down. So we're going to break off those curses too. Now, God has started giving me, at times, He'll give me the names of spirits to call out. At other times, He lets me call them out of different rooms of your palace or your building. He might just say, Stan, I want them out of their heads. And I know when we get into the area of renouncing the occult, I know that that's where a lot of them are going to come out. They're going to come out of the area of your head, in your mind, in your foreheads, and so forth. So I might just tell the spirits to leave certain different areas of your body. For example, your lungs. Your lungs are a big habitation place. A lot of them like the lungs to oppress your breathing and shortness of breath and so forth and so on. I might call them out of your female organs. Tell them to leave your female organs, to leave your male organs. A lot of spirits are down in those areas. I might tell spirits to leave your bones. A lot of spirits are in your bones. Arthritis and crippling spirits are working in your bones. So we'll go as the Lord leads. But let's all say this prayer right now and get into it. Say, Father God, and let's stand up and stretch a minute when we pray this. Praise the Lord. I'm not going to apologize for keeping you too long through the Word, but God wants you to hear what He gave me. He wanted you to hear that. Don't you let anybody tell you that you can't have an evil spirit and they can't either because they're Christian. Because it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. You stop listening to that mess. And I want to tell you one more thing. You stop taking counsel from the ungodly. You stop taking counsel about doctrines like this from people that aren't casting out spirits out of people. You stop taking counsel from people that are not mature in the Lord when it comes to doctrines that are like this. If your preacher is not casting out evil spirits outside of somebody, you don't take counsel from him about who you can cast them out of, because he doesn't know anything. Or else he's knowing it and he's hiding it. And that's worse. I'm going to tell you something. For God's servants to know something and to hide it from others because of fear, that's bad. That's bad. I'm going to tell you something. That's bad. We're responsible for what we know. Praise God. You take counsel from people that are balanced in the Word of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. All right, say this prayer. Say, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I confess and declare that Jesus Christ is your Son, that He was born of a virgin, that He was crucified on a cross, that He rose from the dead, that He ascended into heaven, and He sits on the right hand of you. God, my Father, I thank You that He has forgiven my sins, that He has cleansed me in His blood. I thank You that old things are passing away, and all things are becoming new. Lord, I want the kingdom in me, in my earth, as it is in heaven. I want righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost inside of me while I'm on this earth. I want the kingdom of darkness out of me. I want sin out of me. I want disease and sickness out of me. I believe Jesus Christ took stripes that I could be healed. And by those stripes, I'm healed. I'm going free. Lord, I'm sorry about my ancestors' sins. About their sins in the area of the occult. About their disobedience to you. Their idolatry. And all their sins. Lord, I'm sorry for all of my sins. My sins of the occult, whether knowingly or unknowingly, I confess and I forsake my sins. I'm not going to be involved in the occult anymore. Lord, I'm sorry about any bitterness in my life. You tell me to forgive everybody for everything. And not hold back any ought. Lord, I love my enemies. I pray for those that despitefully use me. I'll not be bitter or hateful toward anyone. Lord, I'm sorry. Now I thank you for forgiving me and for cleansing me. In Jesus' name. All right, now, I want you right now to just let the Lord show you who you've got something against, and you just talk to the Lord just a minute. If it's a husband or a wife that's even been unfaithful or caused all kinds of things, forgive them. Forgive them. And by forgiving them, you're going to help the kingdom to come inside of that person. How'd you like to have that love in you through your spouse, through your mate? How would you like to have love and joy and peace? And gentleness and kindness and meekness and faith, loving you through your spouse. You can have that. Y'all can move into these promises together. You can move into these things. Both of you can have this formed inside of you. What a one place that would be. But that's a provision that you can enter into. You can have those things. Praise God. All right? As God continues to show you people that you've had bitterness and ought toward, I want you to continue to forgive them. And you'll have continual deliverance from these things that have been tormenting you. All right, now, I'm going to come against the occult spirits in your head and in your life. I just say this. Say, all spirits of the occult that are in my life, you leave me right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Turn me loose.
For the deliverance portion of this service, please play tape 2. Thank you.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. It's like going to Bible school at home.